Okay, let's get it. It is Locked On LSU, your team every day. Monday edition after LSU beats Vanderbilt 66-38 in Nashville, a stadium filled with purple and gold. The Tigers represented probably about 90% of the fans in attendance. Nashville was great. It was a fantastic opportunity for LSU alums living in Nashville, and everyone wants to make that trip since LSU hadn't been to Nashville since 2010. And to watch what amounted to a really stress-free game as the Tigers start 1-0 in conference play. Lots of highs, 66 points, certainly part of that, scoring on your first four offensive possessions. Some lows. You allowed a 52-yard touchdown run by Keyshawn Vaughn, a fantastic catch and run by Kalijah Lipscomb for a touchdown. You fumbled at your own goal line, which allowed a defensive score. You threw a pick six. And, of course, the first drive of the game for Vanderbilt went right down the field on LSU's defense and scored. So it was a mixed bag, but when a mixed bag looks like a 66-38 final and you're 1-0 in conference play, you take it, you're on to the next. And we also have to talk about the injuries as well because LSU continues to get bitten by the injury bug. Joe Burrow twisted what looked like his ankle. He came up limp. Terrace Marshall has a stress fracture in his foot. He had surgery on Sunday and tweeted out his recovery. We'll talk about that. And also, Michael Divinity left the game and was seen in a walking boot afterwards. So a lot to unpack from this past weekend's game with LSU and Vanderbilt. First, though, Ed Ogeron talked about the importance of coming off this win and having a bye.
I think it's perfect. Yeah, I think it's perfect. We're not going to hit much next week. We have a regular open day, just like we've had every time we're here. We won't have the Tiger Bowl until the next weekend. But we have 3 good days of practice. The guys are going to have off Sunday and Monday. We'll come back to work Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. They can go home for the weekend. They have been on the weekend. Come back Sunday night at 10 to get ready for Utah State.
The open date could not come at a better time for LSU. And I know we've discussed this a little bit, but right now you are a juggernaut. And we're going to talk a little bit about some context for LSU's offense in the next segment. But right now, you're going at a clip better than literally any other offense in the country. Better than Oklahoma, better than Clemson, better than Alabama. You are the best offense in college football right now, which it's almost like, pinch me, what reality is this in which we are living? But that is the reality. LSU is the best offense in college football. It's the most productive offense in college football right now. So the question is, what things might keep you from reaching your goal? And one of them, obviously, would be some of the defensive miscues, which we're going to get to, but the other are also injuries. So when you look at the schedule, the only objective that we've talked about is get to October 12th undefeated and healthy. October 12th is when LSU welcomes in Florida. Once you got past Texas, you knew Northwestern State, Vanderbilt, open date, Utah State. We talked about it the Monday after the Texas game here when Lawrence and Logan had both gotten injured and you were nicked up a little bit. We talked about it here. Said, look, give these guys 4 weeks off if they need it. You'd have 35 days from the Texas game to the Florida game. If they need 34 days, give it to them because your objective is go through this stretch of 3 games in 4 weeks where you're going to be a massive favorite in all of them and just find a way to be undefeated no matter how it looks, be undefeated and get healthy in time for that stretch, which is going to go Florida at Mississippi State, Auburn, open date Alabama, and that determines your season. That determines whether you're going to have a really great season or a special season. And LSU is on their way. So, yes, we have to talk about some of the coverage busts. Yes, we have to talk about what's going on with defense. And Ed Ogeron talked about it a lot. We have to talk about the injuries. But at its most basic level, what LSU needed to do on Saturday, they accomplished. They got a win, no matter how it looked. And now they're on to an open date. And they get to essentially kick their feet up and wait until, you know, a week from Saturday when Utah State comes in. And a very similar, you know, path where, you know, you hope to just get through that game with a win and hopefully have everybody back the next week whenever Florida comes in. So LSU right now, though, 4-0, 1-0 in conference play. And maybe another great benefit of some of these injuries is you're getting a lot of young guys and new guys playing time to sort of sort out what that's going to look like. So we'll knock out our first break here in the Locked On LSU podcast. When we come back, we'll talk about the LSU offense and how their day went, and then we'll talk about the LSU defense to wrap. Stick around. It's Locked On LSU, your team every day. We continue Locked On LSU, your team every day, where we're brought to you in part by Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter the promo code KICKOFF at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. Again, that's the Vivid Seats app. Enter the promo code KICKOFF at checkout and receive a discount of up to $100. So, LSU puts up 66 points. They put up 599 yards of offense, and Joe Burrow gave them a B.
Well, I rate myself on how the offense performs. I say we were B today. We were really good in the first half. Two turnovers that we can't have cost us points. So we got some things to fix, but there's still a lot to be happy about.
Everything he said there is fair, and it also puts into context on a day when you put up 600 yards of offense and 66 points and you're still not thrilled. It lets you know what LSU has become. So a tip of the cap to ESPN's and the SEC Network's Cole Kublik, who tweeted this out on Sunday. Here are LSU's national offensive ranks. Again, this isn't going to be a test. You don't need to memorize these numbers, just for context. Scoring offense, number one in the country. Red zone conversions, first in the country. Completion percentage, first in the country. Passing offense, second. Pass plays of 20 yards or more, second. QBR, fourth. Total offense, fifth. Third down conversions, ninth. LSU, in basically every major statistical category except rushing offense, is in the top 10. Now, some may be worried about LSU's rushing offense. I am not quite there yet. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a nice game on Saturday. Saved the fumble at the end of the first half, which cost LSU points. But Clyde, 14 carries for a net of 106. He did have a score along of 46, averaged 7.6 yards a carry. We saw John Emery average 5.7 yards a carry, 9 for 51. Ty Davis-Price had 4 attempts for 20 yards for an average of 4.8 yards per carry. So LSU went out against Vanderbilt and did what they have yet to do so far this year, which is have a really nice day running the ball. LSU ran it 36 times for 181 yards and averaged 5 yards a carry. And you might sigh and say, yeah, it's Vanderbilt. Well, yeah, it was Georgia Southern. And yeah, it was Utah State. And yeah, you went on the road in conference play, and you still managed to have a really nice day running the football on top of a big day for Joe Burrow. So that was really good to see the offense, the running game get going. Burrow was Burrow, 25 of 34 for 398 and 6 touchdowns. That's an LSU record, the 6 touchdown passes. A massive day for Ja'Marr Chase, 10 catches for 229. He becomes the first LSU receiver since Odell against Furman back in 2013 to record a 200-yard receiving day and 4 touchdowns for Ja'Marr Chase. That, of course, bests what Terrace Marshall and Justin Jefferson each had done this year with 3 touchdown receiving days. But maybe on top of that even, a nice day for Terrace Marshall with 4 for 75, but he went down with a stress fracture in his foot. I had surgery on Sunday, tweeted they expect him back in a couple of weeks. So I think the eye would be if you could get Marshall back on the field for the Florida game. If not, the good news for LSU is you've seen both Racy McMath and Stephon Sullivan emerge the past couple of weeks. There was a noted effort against Northwestern State to get Sullivan involved, and he had 5 catches. And then this past weekend, Sullivan 3 for 48 with a long of 30. And on top of that, one of the guys that LSU's coaches had talked about a ton this offseason was Racy McMath. And he's starting to get involved as well, 5 for 48, a long of 20. So you've just got options. It was a relatively quiet day for Justin Jefferson, just 2 catches for 18 yards. He did have a touchdown reception. But it goes to show you, man, it's a pick-your-poison type deal with LSU right now. If you want to bracket Justin Jefferson, fine. Marshall or Chase will beat you. You want to try to take away Chase or Marshall in the slot, Justin Jefferson will beat you one-on-one on the outside. There's just too many weapons right now for this LSU offense. That every team is going to have to decide who they want to target. Now, the other if there is a weakness on the LSU offense or a cause for concern, certainly it's been It's been the offensive line. And we've talked about him in context of running the football, but also pass protection. Joe Burrow got hit way too much for my liking, including coming up limping. That was in the first quarter when Burrow took that low shot. Excuse me, it was LSU's first possession of the second quarter. Now, when Burrow got sacked on a first down play, which brought up a second and 20, they completed a short pass to Sullivan and then an incomplete pass on third down and would ultimately punt. But that's the concern, the one thing that could derail your season. The good news, though, is that Burrow continued on in the game. The better news is what LSU got on Friday, and perhaps we're burying the lead a little bit here, but they got the news that Ed Ingram has been reinstated. And Ed Ingram played in all 13 games with 12 starts as a freshman in 2017, and he is a road-grading mauler. And that's a guy who I would fully expect to be on the field against Utah State and be starting against Florida. I'm not giving you any inside info, but nothing you've seen so far from Adrian McGee or Chasen Hines at left guard has given you any reason to believe that they would be better than an available Ed Ingram. So, like we've talked about, if you've got Cushenberry in the center, Damian Lewis and Ed Ingram at your guards, that's a solid launch pad right there in the middle. Now, you've got to get better play from Sadiq Charles and from Austin Deculus, and we'll see if they're able to hold up against the best edge rushers in the league when you play Florida and when you play that Auburn defensive front, which looked awesome this past week on the road against Texas A&M. And obviously when you play Alabama, when you play Texas A&M, there's going to be severe challenges, significant challenges down the road, but I feel much better about it whenever you have that interior taken care of. And if you need a back to chip or whatever, you can give some help to your edge guys. But getting Ed Ingram back is just a massive get. I mean, it's like having a free agent pickup. It's like a baseball team nabbing a starting pitcher at the trade deadline and that being the missing piece to your championship run. LSU didn't just add a good player. They added a dominant player at a position of need, which makes this offense, which is already fantastic, even better. That's why getting the Ed Ingram news was just massive for LSU on Friday. All right, now that we've gotten the conversation out of the way about the offense, which it's stunning that LSU has this record-setting offense, which fans have waited for forever, and all people want to talk about are the deficiencies on defense. But we'll get to that when we come back, and Ed Ogeron obviously had a lot to say after the game as well. Glad you're with us here. We'll talk defense next. Locked on LSU, your team every day. Wrapping up Monday edition of the Locked on LSU podcast, talking about the LSU defense. And Ed Ogeron was asked in his post-game press conference if he felt like his defense was being bailed out right now by the offense.
No. We play as a team. No. We win as a team. 4-0. I told our guys, we 4-0. We play as a football team here. And none of that. No way.
Can certainly respect that. And by the way, I think he's right. I don't think the offense is bailing out the defense. But some of the questions people have asked are legitimate. And some of the concerns are legitimate. And we're going to talk about them. But here's Ed also expressing the fact that he's not happy about LSU's defense giving up 38 points on the road against Vanderbilt.
No, we're not happy at all. The first drive we have a guy playing a four technique. He's got the B gap. He jumps into A gap. We got a three technique. He jumps into A gap, goes into B gap. So that had nothing to do with the offense. They run a bubble screen. We miss a tackle. That has nothing to do with the offense. So we can't make any excuses about tackling, blocking and tackling and fitting our gaps and hopefully getting some guys healthy. We need to get Kelvon Chasson healthy. We need to get Rashard Lawrence healthy. We need to get Glenn Logan healthy. We're basically playing with our second team D-line out there right now.
The last part there may sound to some like a cop-out, but it's completely legitimate. And if you have a criticism of this team, it's something that I've said since summer, and I think we're seeing play out now, which is you feel really good about LSU's ones. I feel really good about a veteran like Rashard Lawrence, a guy like Glenn Logan, even when you rotate in Braden Fajoka, who's played a lot of football, Tyler Shelvin, who continues to be a monster. We'll talk about him in a second. I like Phillips and Divinity and Chasson and Stevens and Delpit and Fulton and Stingley. Yeah, I like that unit a lot. When you take four starters out of your defensive front seven, when it's Lawrence and Logan and Chasson and Divinity, and now you're replacing them, and you look at LSU's starting defensive front this past weekend, and it's Justin Thomas, Joseph Evans, Braden Fehoko, Andre Anthony. That's a very different look than Lawrence, Logan, Shelvin, Chesson. I mean, it's not even comparable when you talk about their talent level, their experience level, and their production level. So you look at it two ways. As I said at the very beginning of this episode, I've said all along, just be undefeated and healthy when you play Florida. When LSU, the only time this year we've seen LSU's defense completely whole was the opener against Georgia Southern, and they allowed 98 yards of total offense. And yes, Georgia Southern is a triple option team that wasn't going to, I think it had 11 pass attempts in the ball game and weren't really going to challenge it through the air, but LSU overwhelmed an offense that was inferior to it. And I believe LSU, when whole defensively, is going to be very good. But until then, you're going to have to be patient. And sometimes you're going to see things like what Ed alluded to there. On the first play of the game, Vanderbilt had a 41-yard run, Keyshawn Vaughn. The player lined up in the B gap that shot the A gap he's talking about was Patrick Queen. I thought the SEC Network broadcast did a good job of highlighting it. If Queen has some discipline in staying in the B gap instead of shooting A gap and guessing wrong, he's right there to make the tackle on Vaughn. Instead, he picks the wrong gap. Vaughn gets a 41-yard run, and Vanderbilt would score on that drive. So you do have some of those types of things that are happening, and sometimes, look, that's the result of playing younger guys and guys who might even at times be out of position, but things that you hope are resolved whenever you're healthy and whole again. The other thing that I think is obviously worth noting, health is one. The other is the pace of play. Now, if you're on the field for 100 plays, like LSU was against Clemson in that Chick-fil-A by Peach Bowl back in 2012, or even the 90 plays they were on the field against Texas earlier this year, you're going to get worn down, and I think there is a cumulative effect. I don't think that was the problem this week. Look, even Ed Ogeron talked about that. He didn't think fatigue was the problem.
You know, here, I'll say it again. You know, you got to stay in your gap. Hey, staying in your gap has nothing to do about being tired, okay? Being disciplined, tackling has nothing to do about being tired. There was nobody that was being tired of being guys out there. I thought it was a nice school day. We practiced in a lot of hotter days. Guys are in good shape, so there's no thing of the offense is going fast and we're being tired. There's none of that. There's not an excuse for that in the world.
Vanderbilt only ran 73 plays. He's right. That being tired, that's not an excuse. 73 plays isn't 100 or 90 plays. The defense wasn't on the field all day. But here's the problem that can happen. Vandy got the touchdown to open the game. LSU gets the ball. Five plays, score. 7-7. Vandy quickly goes three and out. We forget about that. LSU forced a three and out. LSU scored on its first play. 64-yard touchdown pass to Jamar Chase. Defense is right back out there. They force another three and out. LSU back on the field. Six play drive. I got this correctly. They score again. Vanderbilt back on the field. Defense right back on the field. And LSU came up with a fourth and one stop right there. LSU goes, scores again. That's when Vandy put together a nice drive, kicked a field goal. It's 28-10. The next time Vandy had the ball, three and out. The next time after that Vandy had the ball, they'd go three and out again. Vandy would have the ball, another three and out. Point is, Vandy had 16 possessions in the game. If you just look at the first half, they went touchdown, three and out, fourth and one stop, field goal, three and out, three and out, three and out. That was Vandy's first half possessions. It didn't look bad. The problem is you gave up the bust on the first possession, and then you allowed them to stay in the game by allowing a defensive score, by fumbling at your goal line and allowing them an easy touchdown. So just if you're crunching numbers, the 38 that Vandy scored looks bad. The offense only scored 24. And we can sit there and say, man, 24 points to Vanderbilt's too many. And in a bygone era, 24 points to Vanderbilt would be too many. But in an era where you're going to spread it out, go tempo, you're going to lose the time of possession every week, which, by the way, I don't mind that. I think time of possession is the most overrated statistic in the world when determining winning and losing. I don't think that matters one lick. Time of, Vandy had the ball for 32-33, LSU 27-27. So I don't care if you lose time of possession. You just got to win on the scoreboard. And if this is the way you want to win games, fine. I think we collectively just have to understand this is how LSU is going to win games. The other thing that is so worth talking about that we haven't yet is LSU special teams were outstanding against Vanderbilt. Zach Von Rosenberg did a great job punting. Jacob Phillips obviously tipped the ball back at the goal line on a punt that was down at the 7. You had Micah Baskerville block a punt, recover it for a touchdown. Baskerville recovered an onside kick to start the second half, returned it down inside the 5, which gave LSU a short field. So special teams for LSU, Cade York was perfect on PATs. They were flawless on special teams on Saturday, and I thought that was magnificent because it's the third phase of the game we don't often talk about, but Greg McMahon has got that unit playing at a very high level right now, and that was amazing to see. So when you can go get points off of special teams, when your special teams can get you net you essentially 17 points, that's it's a great formula to win football games. So specifically with the defense, a couple of other things that I really liked a lot. Derek Stingley got his first pick. Like, he was going toe-to-toe with Kalijah Lipscomb, who is a senior and a really good player, and Lipscomb won his fair share of battles against Stingley on Saturday. Lipscomb ended up with 5 catches for 68 and a touchdown, the long of 36, which was that catch and run for the score. But Stingley got his as well. Had a really nice interception. I also like the fact that without Todd Harris back there, Jacoby Stevens playing center field came away with an interception as well. You know, high pointing the ball, real athletic. We've talked a lot about Stevens as a guy playing close to the line of scrimmage, but it was good to see he could go back in coverage and make a really athletic play on the ball. And how about the Tennessee kids? I mentioned Stevens and Jacob Phillips as well, also a former Mr. Football in Tennessee, who had 10 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and he currently, through 4 weeks, leads the SEC in tackles, which was which is really cool to see Jacob Phillips right there. So all in all for the Tigers, they did what they had to do. They went on the road. They're 4-0. They're 1-0 in the conference. The offense continues to roll. They have an opportunity, I think, to get healthy this week, to come back against Utah State, get another win, be full throttle for when the Gators come here on October the 12th. So in the meantime, we'll continue keeping an eye on all the injuries. We'll get you an update as we have them. No Ed Ogeron press luncheon today, Monday, because of the open date. He'll be on the SEC coaches teleconference Wednesday. So my guess is that might be the next time we get an update on these injuries from Ed Ogeron. But as we have that info, we'll certainly pass it along, and we'll be right here each and every day. So please be sure to subscribe to the podcast if you don't already. iTunes, rate us, like us on iTunes, leave feedback. However you listen to podcasts, please subscribe, and we appreciate you for being here. And tell a friend. It is the Locked On LSU podcast, your team every day.